Okay, open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 11, verse 22, and we'll continue on with our study on faith and understanding that one thing we absolutely have to get through our heads, every one of us, we have to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. That's how we got born again. Everything else that we're going to ever get from heaven is going to be because we believed it in our heart and we confessed it with our mouth. If we need healing, then we believe in our heart that by His stripes we were healed, and then we say it. See, we got to say something. It's not enough to just sit there and believe. You know, if we just sit there and believe, it's just not going to happen. You got to get your mouth in gear. You know, Jesus, in the parable of the sower, he explained to us how the sower sows the word. We're the sowers. We sow the word, whether we're sowing the word into somebody else's life or sowing the word into our situations. We have to sow the word. The word of God is the seed. That's the seed that we sow. Now I want you to look. Let me get over here to Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Kenneth Hagin preached on these three verses forever. And he said that he never got to the bottom of it. So he never got to the bottom of it. I don't know how we think we got to the bottom of it. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Literally, have the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith is that faith that says something. You know, God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be man, and there was man. He said, let there be... Whatever He said, that's what happened. But He said something. He said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So, Jesus talked about believing once. And he talked about saying something three times. He put a big emphasis on the words of our mouth. You know, you're not going to get born again without the words of your mouth. Remember, it's that confession is made unto salvation. You know, we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus back to life. We confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. So we believe in our heart, and then we say what we believe out of our mouth so our ears can hear it. This is one of the reasons God told Joshua to meditate on the word day and night. Walk around and meditate on that word day and night. It's not just a memorization exercise. He was hearing himself say what God said about him. And he would say it, he'd hear it, and he'd get it in his heart, and he'd say it again. And then pretty soon, faith, we know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I read somewhere that there's no more powerful instrument to hear the word of faith than it is coming out of your mouth. When you hear your own self say something over and over and over again, you're going to believe it. It's one thing to hear a preacher say it to you over and over and over again, but it's quite another thing when you hear yourself say it. This is sometimes a challenge. Sometimes one of the big challenges for me was to sit down and say, I'm forgiven. Well, I don't feel forgiven. So I had to sit there and say, well, no, I'm forgiven because the Bible says I'm forgiven. But I don't feel forgiven. And I had to sit there and say, I'm forgiven. And then pretty soon, my feelings finally came in line with the Word of God. And then I thought, okay. I was still kind of holding myself accountable for stuff that happened 20, 30 years ago. How am I ever going to go forward if I don't understand this? And I finally got it. One of the big religious words that tore me up for the longest time was righteousness. I didn't want anything to do with that word. But I finally came to the conclusion that if I didn't get a revelation of what righteousness meant, I wasn't ever going to be able to move forward with God. And I had to understand that righteousness meant right standing. So I had to run around calling myself the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I didn't feel righteous. I didn't look righteous. But I ran around and finally it dawned on me that I'm in right standing with God because Jesus made it that way. Amen. So what about when we have real live symptoms attacking our bodies? You know, maybe a horrible flu was hit or some sickness or man, you don't feel right. And you talk to your neighbor and your neighbor said, yeah, that happened to my cousin 2 months ago. She went to the doctor. And the doctor said, man, you got to take this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this, and she's still not right. What are you going to do? Are you going to believe the report of the world, or are you going to believe the report from God? When you take God at His word, and you run around and you say, okay, no, by His stripes, I was healed. Well, I don't feel healed. Look in the mirror, I certainly don't look healed. Remember, the Bible tells us that we have to walk by faith and not by sight. So we're going to have to, at some point, put our spiritual blinkers on, and stay focused on His Word, and that's going to be our only report. And then we fight the good fight of faith. I wish it was always easy. I wish sometimes I just wish I could just get up and say, be gone, and the pain would be gone. But God takes us through the pain, and then it's not as bad as it was before. But we have to get up, and we have to say something with our mouth, and then we have to get moving. Amen. When Christians asked, when were you saved? They often answer by saying something like about 9 on the night of July 10th. But they're mistaken. Some people remember dates. A lot of times they remember the date they got born again. Maybe they got their baptism wrote down in the Bible. But guess what? You were saved 2,000 years ago. This is important to understand. You were saved 2,000 years ago. You just didn't make it a reality until you spoke it forth with your mouth. See, we used to run around, we'd go to these meetings, we'd go to rodeos, and we'd come back to church, and we'd say we got 50 souls saved. You know, but we'd be at the rodeo, and we'd tell them, so you need to get born again to make sure you get your name wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, we were wrong. They did need to get born again, but God is a faith God, and He already had their names wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. All they needed to do is seal it by the blood of Jesus. Now, the Bible does say to make sure that you don't get your names blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. That's not for Christians, that's for non-believers. When people don't make a decision for Christ and they leave their earth suit, there is no other choice for God but to blot their names out of the Lamb's Book of Life. He doesn't want to. He was believing for their salvation. They just didn't take advantage of it. They have free wills, and they didn't take advantage of His free gift. It became a reality when you believed it and you confessed it. Salvation belongs to everyone. Every man and woman in this world has a legal right to salvation. Jesus died for the whole world, not just for you and me, not just for a special few. He died for the whole world. The Bible tells us that all that call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. And here's a cute thing that you need to understand. Since your salvation, since you were saved 2,000 years ago, did you know you were healed 2,000 years ago? Because your healing was paid for before your sins were. Jesus had to get scourged. And that's by His stripes. That's how, where the stripes come in. It was by His stripes you were healed. And that came about 2,000 years ago. You just didn't appropriate it until you believed it in your heart and then you confessed with your mouth that by His stripes you were healed. Not going to be healed. Not will be healed, but were healed. Already. He already took the curse of sickness. We get attacked. There still is a devil out there. And he gets attacked. He attacks us with sicknesses. And sometimes we don't even need His help. Sometimes we just do stupid things. Sometimes it's the words of our mouth that gets us in trouble. When you was a kid, or how many times have you told little kids, don't you go running outside in the rain without your shoes and coat on. You'll catch a cold. You watch. People hear that enough. They hear it. It gets in their heart. Pretty soon, they go outside in the rain without their shoes on, without a coat on. A little rain gets on them. Oh my goodness, I caught a cold. There's been times where the devil would say something like that to me, or somebody would say something like that to me. And I said, no, I'm not having this. I'd take my shoes off. I'd take my shirt off. And I'd go out in the rain. And say, I am not catching a cold just because a little bit of rain gets on me. And then I go on about my business. Don't buy into those old wives' tales. You shed them off every time you hear one. Some of the worst sayings I can even think of are things that people really think is funny. You know, some people walk around and say, I'm so broke I can't even pay attention. That needs to be completely burned from your vocabulary. People say that enough, pretty soon they'll be broke and they won't be able to pay attention. It happens. The words of your mouth. When you're talking, you're sowing seed. And here's the thing. When you got born again, you got turned into a supernatural seed sowing machine. You are a speaking spirit. And you've been designed to sow seed. And That seed is designed to grow in your heart. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 13. It says, "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Just as faith comes by hearing the word of God, so does anything that we receive from God. The God kind of faith comes by hearing God's word. So in other words, God kind of faith to come into the hearts of those who hear. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Jesus said, "Take heed, therefore, how you hear." You really do need to pay attention. You cannot let it go in one ear and out the other. That just won't do any good. Faith won't come. If you act as if the Word of God were some fairy tale, faith will not come. But when you accept it reverently and sincerely, when you act upon it, faith comes. See, this is one of the important things. I'm kind of discouraged. I mean, I don't begrudge anybody for it, but we're getting a lot of computer Bibles floating around. But here's the thing. No, you're fine. But here's the thing. When you got a Bible, and you should have a pen. You should have a Bible that you can write in, that you can color in. If your Bible is just too holy to write in, go put it in a glass case and go get you one that you can color in. Because here's the reason why. The Holy Spirit will strike something in your heart. When you're under the word of faith and somebody's reading to you from the Bible and teaching you about the word of faith, and the Holy Spirit strikes something in your heart, says this is important, underline it, highlight it, and then go back to it and find out why he wants you to understand that verse. See, he said, "Take heed how you hear." Go back and look at that verse and spend some time with that verse and see what he needs you to understand. Meditate on that for a while and look at it. You know, the preacher may even say something that strikes a chord in you. He doesn't even understand it. He may just say something that caught your attention, and he's already five verses down because he's getting to where he's going, but you got that verse. Go ahead and if you have to, just zone him out for just a little bit and circle that verse so you can go back to it. I've even had the Holy Spirit, while my pastor was preaching, and we'd be going down, and a verse that my preacher wasn't even talking about would catch my eye. And I'd look at it, and I'd go ahead and circle it because I was paying attention to what he was wanting me to see back to it later. It'd be a good thing once in a while to just go back and read the highlighted stuff in your Bible. Go back and see why he deemed it important enough for you to underline. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. Look at that 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. He said, "We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." That's what the spirit of faith is. some people get an idea that the supernatural faith is just, you're just going to just all of a sudden just believe and everything's just going to be okay. Here's the thing. Supernatural faith is going to come by believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. That's the spirit of faith. That's the spirit of faith. That supernatural faith is going to say something positive, say something that God says about you in your situation, regardless of what the circumstances may look like, regardless of what your neighbors may say, regardless of what anybody in Washington might say. Supernatural faith is going to believe the word of God and say what God says. Paul said that we have the same spirit of faith. So what belonged to the church in Corinth belongs to the church today. Do you realize they don't have any, they didn't have anything that we don't have access to today? They've got the same Holy Spirit that we have today. The same Jesus. You know, Jesus said, you know, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. The same Jesus. The same Jesus that walked on water and raised the dead and cleansed the lepers, made the blind to see, the mute to talk, the deaf to hear. The same Jesus is the very same Jesus that resides on the inside of you. The very same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus back to life is the very same Holy Spirit that came into you and then came upon you. We didn't get a different Jesus. We didn't get a different Holy Spirit. And regardless of what a lot of churches and preachers are running around talking about, we didn't get a different Bible. We didn't get a different word. God's word is still true. It's still the same. We don't have to have a hot new revelation from some mightily anointed preacher to operate in the things of God. All we need is the basics. The word that Jesus gave us. The words of Christ in our heart. And then speaking it forth out of our mouth. Look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2. There are not many people realize just how much words dominate us. You have to understand the words of your mouth. The words of your mouth will either set you free or hold you in bondage. The words of your mouth will cause you to win or cause you to be defeated. The words of your mouth will cause you to have health and vitality in your body or death and sickness in your body. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2 says, "Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth." Another version of that says, "Thou art taken captive with the words of thy mouth." Did you see that? It didn't say the devil caught you. And then say the demons caught you, said you are snared by the words of your mouth. When we realize just how utterly important it is to control our tongue. This is a funny one to me. I mean, I get a kick out of this. P- people will run around and they say, you will never, I knew some guys said, you will never hear a cuss word come out of my mouth. I said, well, praise God. And they just walk around with one bad confession right after another about themselves, their job, their cows, their land. But they didn't cuss. Here's the thing. The words of your mouth, the words that you speak forth, are either life-giving or death-giving. You can bless or curse with the words of your mouth. I've had some moms get mad at me before because they just sit there and curse their kid. They wouldn't be cussing at their kid. But they would curse these kids. Said, you are rogue. You're never going to get this. You're never going to succeed at this. You're never going to learn this. And it's like, of course not. You're speaking that word over them. One that really, really, really super irritated me was when I was in Mexico, and there was, and it happens here too, there's little girls, 9, 10 years old, and all the adults running around them, around these little girls, call them mama. And then there was little girls in there that were 13, 14 years old that had babies. And I'm wondering what happened. I said, you call them mama from the time they're 8. What do you think's going to happen to them by the time they're 12? Let them grow up before you start calling them mama. The words of our mouth will bless us or curse us, but it's going to be the words of our mouth. And see, people don't understand just how powerful words really are. I grew up hearing these words that you're going to be just like your brother. He ain't worth a hoot for nothing. You're not even gonna finish high school. See, you're gonna be broke the rest of your life. You're never gonna be able to have a successful life. You're never gonna be able to have a good job. Nothing good is ever gonna happen for you. And I was young enough and impressionable enough, and I didn't have anybody pumping the word of God at me. I owned those words. And then pretty soon, it was like to the point where even if I did have any kind of chance of success, I'd sabotage it. And somehow, by the grace of God, I got born again. And I started finding out that God had different things to say about me than what the adults in my life had to say about me. And so I decided I'd rather believe the stuff that God had to say about me instead of what they had to say about me. And then I started doing all kinds of things that they said I couldn't do, but it was with the words of my mouth. I started getting a different confession. I quit running around saying, well, I'm just going to fail. It ain't going to work. I can't do that. I don't have enough money to do that. I don't have the right education to do that. That all went away. When I found out what God said about me, I started doing things that they always said were impossible. I want you to look at 1 John chapter 4. I want you to understand something, that defeat and failure do not belong to the child of God. God never made a failure. God made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. We are not born of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but the will of God. We are created in Christ Jesus. Failures are man-made. They are made by wrong believing and wrong thinking. 1 John chapter 4:4 says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Learn to trust God. He's the greater one that's in you. He is the mightier one. He's bigger than anything in this world. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Our job is to believe it and then say that. I was driving up Big Spring Street. My boss sent me down to Midland to start a truck yard. And I was driving up that street, surrounded by all these huge oil companies. And he said, "You go down there and you start a truck yard." So I was driving up Big Spring Street, and Dale said, "Eighth grade is all the farther you got in high school. Or eighth grade is all the farther you got in school. You didn't graduate high school. What do you think you're going to do here?" I had to say that to myself. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. And then you take another step. And you say another word, and you take another step, and you say another word. And then one day, the drilling superintendent of the biggest independent oil company in the Permian Basin called me and asked me for advice. And I was sitting there thinking, this guy has more oil-filled knowledge in one little finger than I do in my whole body. And I said, "Well, what do you need to know?" And he told me he had some mud, and he said, what do we got to do with it?" And I said, "Well, we have to take it to this other place." He said, "Do whatever you got to do." Okay. Look. It's not what you know. It's not even necessarily who you know, but it's who you belong to. When you get it in your heart that you really are a child of God, all things become possible to you. But you're going to have to believe it in your heart. And you're going to have to say it with your mouth. And then you're going to have to, just like Peter did, step out of that boat and walk on water. You're going to have to step out of your comfort zone once in a while. People like familiarity. They like familiar things. They like comfortable things. They like to know what's going to happen. This is going to be here today, and then this is going to be here tomorrow, and then, you know, everything's going to be good. And I notice that there's a lot of people that get in those ruts, as I call them, and when something happens, they get really shaken, they fall apart over nothing a lot of times. When they could just settle down and say, "Okay, I'm still going to be okay. God still has this under control. And that he has given me authority in the name of Jesus to win over this situation." But it's going to be with the words of your mouth. I don't know if you've noticed, there's a lot of crazy things going on in the world right now. A lot of crazy things going on in the world. Now more than ever, we're going to have to understand that we have authority on this earth to speak in the name of Jesus. That changes our circumstances. We're going to really see some interesting things coming up. Be grounded in the name of Jesus. Be grounded in the word of faith. Have it on your tongue to speak out. It would be good to have three or four "it is written"s. You know, Jesus told the devil, "It is written." It would be good for us to have a few of those in our toolbox for several different occasions. And if you don't have them memorized, have them highlighted in your Bible. It's okay to go back to the Bible and open it up and talk to your circumstance. Did you know that? You don't have to have it memorized. It's okay if you don't know the address. There's a lot of pressure put on people to know the chapter and the verse and all this stuff. I'm going to tell you something. A very dear friend of mine, she had a stroke. And she said the only thing she could say was covenant. She knew she was having a stroke. She just started saying covenant, 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 covenant. And then she got all right. She went to the doctor. And the doctor said, "You've had a massive stroke." And she said, "I know." He looked at her a little while and he said, "No, you don't understand. You had a massive stroke." She said, "I know." But what he was really saying is that you've had a massive stroke. You're not even supposed to be with us anymore, much less be sitting here talking to me. But she used what words she could get out. And he restored her speech and restored her health. And the doctor could see the signs of the massive stroke in her body. But the external signs weren't there. He could see it on his camera. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you in the name of Jesus for writing down the directions for us, showing us how to operate your word of faith, showing us how to make this stuff work, showing us how to change our circumstances, how to stand up to the challenges that face us every day, showing us how to be victorious over them in all things. In Jesus' name. Amen.